Wow, what a song and what a verse that the Lord has given to Ivan. Huh? I don't mean to share this, but because he shared the verse, I felt that it's a testimony I must give to all of you. The Lord bless me and keep me and shine his face on me. I think shine, a lot of perspiration, a lot of oil on my face, because we, Henry, just became grandfather for the fourth time yesterday. So that makes me grandmother of the fourth grandchild yesterday. And our second daughter in Berlin is also expecting her second one. So in May, we'll be grandparents of the fifth grandchild. Wow. That's why the face shines with perspiration and oil. Because work so hard. God is good. Amen. God is so good to us. Joseph, you can testify, huh? You can share my joy, huh? Because you are the grandfather as well of a happy bunch of grandchildren. God is good. For those who have got grandchildren, I understand your joy. For those who are not, you will come to the joy later on, okay? When the time comes, when the time comes. And have lots of spiritual children as well. Those are your spiritual grandchildren. I've got grandchildren, and I've got spiritual grandchildren as well. So let's make this a full house. Amen. God is so good to us. How are you in the new year? This is the second week of the new year. Has your year been new, or has it been the same, same? Same, same. I heard, don't make it the same, same, okay? Don't live your life 50 times when you're 50 years old. The same sort of life. Live your life 50 years, but with life from the Lord in varied grace. Amen. I want to live a life that is full of the grace of God. Multicolored grace of God, God says. For those who love colors, you know, colors is not just blue, right? It's got a lot of different kind of blues. Cobalt blue, turquoise blue, blue, and all different shades of the grace of God. God wants to give us the grace of God in his colors. Amen. Amen. Well, today my topic given to me is being a witness. And I entitled my sermon today, A Witness for Christ. What else do we witness for? We want to witness for Christ. And I wrote in brackets, witness for Christ, because God loves me from my head to my toes. Tomatoes. I got this card that says, I love you from my head, tomatoes. It's from my head to my toes. God loves us from our head to our toes, and we need to witness about him. Before that, let's ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, we thank you so much that you love us with an everlasting love. And you love us with a love so profound that it takes Jesus to die on the cross for us, so that your blood, Jesus, will cleanse us from now till eternity. God, that's how deep your love is. Today, help us be filled with the fervor and the passion of a witness for you. We give you thanks, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus loves you to the bottom, and he loves you to the skies. I actually said it a bit wrongly. This is a quote, so I need to be very faithful to quotes. Jesus knows you to the bottom and loves you to the skies. Jesus loves you to the moon and back. Then my latest one, which is my favorite, is Jesus loves me from my head to my toes. From my head to my toes. But how can you know unless someone guides you? Acts 8:31 says, how shall you call on him in whom you have not believed? You have not heard about him. You cannot believe. How can you call upon him? How do you know that he loves you so much from the moon to back? How shall I believe in him of whom I have not heard? How can someone believe in Jesus when they have not heard about how deep his love is? And how can I hear without a preacher or a witness? That's in Romans 10:14. At 16, I was struggling with identity issues, and I was struggling with the meaning of life. And God sent a witness. God sends people. God sent a witness to me by the name of this girl called Billian. Billian was my senior school classmate. And she invited me to church, and that was in Grace Assembly Singapore. So we are affiliated to Grace Assembly Singapore. I was asked to go to that church by my friend Billian, who was my senior school classmate. The first thing she did when she brought me to church was she opened the door to the prayer room and sent me into the prayer room. I didn't know, of course, at that time, we were experiencing revival in Singapore. I didn't know that. I first time in church. And Billian trusted the door and opened the door and trusted me in to this prayer room full of young people. It was a young people's club, full of young people, and they were praying in tongues. Whoa, young people. Pray in tongues. We are Pentecostal church. Pray in tongues. But at that time, many years ago, the young people were praying in tongues and crying so much. I was a non-Christian. Didn't know what prayer was, but I saw them all crying, and I cried along as well. And I cried so hard. I didn't even know why I was crying, but I was crying so hard. But one thing I know, I went into the prayer room, a non-Christian, but I came out of the prayer room a Christian and a child of God. A witness came to send me to that church and bring me to where I was in Christ. I received salvation by grace. I did nothing to deserve the grace of God at that time. I was a very naughty kid. I was a prefect in school, but I was a very naughty kid. At that time, naughty means, you know, we jump over walls. To go for our PE lesson. I was one of the leaders because I was a prefect, right? So I let the whole group jump over walls and, of course, got punishment. Very naughty kid. But I received salvation by grace. I did nothing to deserve the grace of God. I had nothing to prove that I deserved to be a child of God. But that day in that prayer room, after I came out of that prayer, I began the love relationship with my God. We need a witness. I wouldn't have this communion with God if not for Billian, who is the witness for Christ. That day, as Ivan sang this morning in that song, that day there was a rewriting of my history. I was a sick child too. I had this disease where my eyelids would just break out in fluid and blood. I don't know where it came from, but there was a rewriting of my history. I was healed. Miraculously, there was a rewriting of my history, as the song said this morning, and it changed my destiny forever. I never left church. I attended Grace Assembly for 21 years, and I thought nothing could beat that, you know, for 21 years. I am here in Grace City Church at that time, Grace Assembly, for 30 years now. So I've been in church for 51 years because a witness came to me that day and invited me to the prayer meeting or to church. There's this lady's name called Rebecca McLaughlin. I can pronounce McLaughlin very well because my niece's husband is a McLaughlin, Irish guy. But Rebecca McLaughlin, she was an award-winning author in the fields of Christian evangelism. And she said this. She says, if somebody invites, people will come to church. Oh. If somebody invites, people will come to church. She says, for people who are hungry and are seeking, the church has the word of eternal life. I'm just curious, how many of you have been invited to faith or invited to church because somebody came to your life and be that witness for Christ? How many of you? Can I just see hands? Oh, wow, witnesses, huh? Witnesses, exactly that. This is not surprising because in the Bible, we were told that Jesus invited Peter and Andrew to follow him. Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, follow me. He was inviting them. And of course, they left the Sea of Galilee. Instead of being fishermen, they became fishers of men. And then Jesus invited the disciples to have breakfast with him because he was in his resurrected body. He wanted to tell them that he was alive. And he invited them. He cooked them breakfast, cooked them fish from the Sea of Galilee. How special. And the king in the parable asked the servants, please invite all the people, rich and poor, highways and byways, bring them in to the wedding feast. Invitation. In our modern world, Denzel Washington, you know Denzel Washington, my favorite actor. He is a Christian, and he recently became a minister as well, a Christian minister. And how did he become a Christian, and how did he become a minister? Because of the witness of Robert Townsend. Robert Townsend? You would know. I didn't know. But you know Denzel Washington? Robert Townsend brought Denzel Washington to West Angeles Church and got him saved. Invitation. Albert McMacken, you know Albert McMacken? No, you don't. You know? Wow, I didn't know. But you know Billy Graham? Yeah. Albert McMacken invited 16-year-old Billy Graham to the tent meeting that got him interested in Christ and got him saved. Wow, 2026, let's get better at inviting, huh? Let's get better in inviting and practice being a witness for Christ. I thought it would be interesting if I were to talk about maybe three attributes, how an inviting posture looks like. How does that sound? Okay, you want to be inviting, but how do you do it? What is the shape of it? Okay, so yes, one of you shook your head. I will do it just for that one person today. Okay, two people now shake their heads. Good. The first inviting posture is being hospitable. Being hospitable. A hospitable community demonstrates kindness to outsiders, to family members, to the church. And a community that is kind eats together, laughs together, have fun together, and being hospitable to one another, serving the needs of each other. That's pretty attractive. I like that kind of community. Do you? Yeah, we all do. It's a very attractive community. It's a very inviting sort of a community. Now, witnessing to people is not hard selling. You know, in the days of old, very hard selling. They come, Bible bash, we call them, huh? Hard selling. They're very task-oriented. Very anxious to get people safe. You see, when people are being forced, people can sniff out inauthenticity. They can tell that you're not real. You're just trying to maybe meet the quota. Have you been to some car sales? You know which are the car people that are really bent on you getting the right car? And who are those people who wants to make the sale and just bring themselves money? You can tell. You can sniff it out, right? Same thing with Christians. You can sniff it out when you think some people are really true as witnesses, or they are just trying to meet a quota, or they are just doing it for whatever their reasons is. People are struck by the church sincerity, exuberance, and liveliness, especially when they are preaching the gospel. So, it's good that we learn how to be hospitable because that's a very inviting sort of posture. Now, if it is to outsiders, to people who have come to church for the first time, who don't know us at all, we want to welcome them into our space in the hope that we can bring Jesus to their world. That's why Hebrews 13:2 says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. That's why in John 4, which is my focus this morning, in John 4, Jesus was very hospitable to the woman at the well. No, Jesus, oh, not very good. Yeah, I can hear like, no good, huh? No good, huh? My voice didn't sound so good, huh? This mic makes my voice better. came back from Singapore with actually a sore throat, but that This is good. This is good. So to outsiders, wow, my voice is good. Being hospitable is to welcome unbelievers or people who have not known the church into our space so that we hope that we can bring Jesus into their world. And we need to be hospitable like Jesus. When Jesus was at the well with the woman, he crossed barriers of status, of race, because she was a Samaritan, he was a Jew, crossed barriers of gender, he was male and she was female. He crossed all these barriers in order to be hospitable so that the woman can be invited into the kingdom of God. To believers, we also need to witness the gospel of Christ. To believers, we are to share with the Lord's people who are in need to practice hospitality in Romans 12, 13. Being hospitable and being kind witness to the character of Christ. If you are not kind, you're not reflecting the character of Christ. Maybe we have not been long enough with Christ and we cannot reflect that kindness. But if we are with the Lord for long, being hospitable is a trait that we will naturally nurture. And also, if we are kind, then we are also witnessing to outsiders, because believers who care for one another is very attractive to the people who come in and see, wow, this is a different community altogether. They've never been to a community like that. If it's a very uncaring community, it's very easy to get. It's a dime a dozen, many, many of such communities everywhere. But when the church becomes a church that is hospitable, then when people come in, they can actually see how good a community that is. To family members who are pre-believers, we've got family members who are not believers. How many of you have got family members that are not yet believers? Oh, yeah, I can see hands. We are to be hospitable without grumbling. In 1 Peter 4:9, it tells us, 1 Peter 4:9 says we are to be hospitable without grumbling. And also in the same book, in 1 Peter 3, if you're a Christian wife and your spouse is not already a Christian, Christian wives are to witness to their husbands by their pure conduct and by respect, so that the husbands who are non-Christians can be won over by them. You see, witnessing is very hard, but witnessing to people who are different from us can also be difficult. So what is the motivation? It's so hard, why don't we just don't do it? Right? I mean, if something is so hard, why do it, right? Why do we want to do it? What is the motivation to be a witness and also to be hospitable? The answer is found in John 4, 34, where Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." The will of God. We witness because it is the will of God. The will of God in 1 Timothy 2:4 is for all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And Jesus used the metaphor of my food is to do the will of God. It's very interesting. It's almost as if Jesus felt invigorated. How many of you, after you finish a good meal, you feel, wow, this is it, very invigorated? How many of you, can you see your hands? No food lovers here. Ah, very good. Rajiv, have some tomatoes. The Lord says he loves you from your head to your toes. Wow, have it, man. Food lover, huh? Invigorated after eating tomatoes. Invigorated after eating a full meal. That's what Jesus says. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work. And I believe that when we begin to witness more, when we begin to share with people more about Jesus, we begin to experience more of the Holy Spirit's presence and blessing in our lives. We are called wise when we are able to witness. So let's experience more of the Holy Spirit's blessings and his presence in 2026. Amen. By rising up and say, "Oh Lord, yes, I want to be a witness for you." I was sent in October 2025, that was just a few months ago, to go back to Singapore to witness to my younger brother, who at that time was dying of stage 4 cancer. And at that time, he was given 6 months to live. But I felt that I was the witness that God wants to send. I witnessed to him before, but this is like a crucial time. And I felt that that was my call, my assignment. And though I had to endure the fact that he's not a Christian yet, and though I knew that his life was not going to be long on earth, I was impressed not to be anxious. Hey, when we're witnessing, don't be anxious. I was impressed not to be anxious or to be forceful, but to just show him love and to show him hospitality. It is to love him from his head to his toes. In fact, I gave him a card that says, "I love you." I don't say this to my brother. It's really hard for an Asian sister. Very hard, you know. I'm trying, okay? But I did. I sent him a card that says, "I love you from my head to my toes." It was just to go back to Singapore that week, just to love him from his head to his toes. And I'm surprised that he actually, in our future emails, he actually wrote back to me, "Love you from my head to my toes." Never before my brother say that to me. Very good. During that week, I visited him every day, and I shared deeply with him, and he shared deeply with me, including the eulogy that he wanted me to read at his funeral. He asked me to look through to see whether there are any grammatical mistakes. And we exchanged jokes, you know, and when we were there, we had a good time. When he was in a hospital at that time, that week, he shared also how bad the hospital food was. And during one time, we even planned how to go to the toilet because he was, you know, attached to all the tubes. The toilet was a little further away from his ward. And he asked me whether I could scheme to get him out of that ward to go to that toilet because he didn't want to stink up his whole ward. We did all these things during that week. That is being a witness, really. A witness of the presence of Christ. We did all these very ordinary things. Hey, when we're witnessing, we have to do spectacular things. It's God that does spectacular things. We do ordinary things. We did ordinary things, and in those divine moments, when my youngest brother, Ming, invited him to pray, he agreed and did not resist. He prayed 5 times before he passed on. Actually, when we went to pray for him the first time, he was actually very tickled. He was very tickled by the fact that he could pray without having to change into proper clothes. I don't know where non-Christians get this idea that when Christians pray, they wear their best clothes. I don't know where they get that impression from. But he was so stunned that we could pray with him in his hospital clothes. He thought he must wear militant clothes to appear before a militant God. But we told him, no need. No need. And truly, my brother's salvation was by grace because he acknowledged God as his Lord and his Savior the day before he passed away. And my youngest brother was the one who led him in the salvation prayer. Be hospitable. Just love people from their head to their toes. Give tomatoes away. Don't say, like what Jesus said, it's still 4 months until harvest. Jesus says, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. In other words, Jesus is saying the harvest is plentiful. Don't say, oh, my friends are not interested. There is spiritual openness. My brother was not interested. In fact, the day before we prayed for him, he says he's not going to be receiving Jesus or no Buddha, no Jesus. The day before he prayed, there is spiritual openness. Just ask the Lord to open our eyes to the needs around and see how ready people are, where they are in their faith level. And like my youngest brother, Ming, you dare to invite. This word invitation is very strong in my message, and I want to be a better inviter in 2026. Is to invite. Your job is to invite, is to dare to invite. And to invite with the love of Christ, sometimes to invite with the expectation that you can be rejected. Not all the time when you invite, people will say yes. You must invite with the expectation, with the reality that some people will say no. Or sometimes, to your greatest surprise, they will open up and say yes, and they will light up and they will agree to what they are saying. But invite anyway. Our job is to invite. It is the Lord's work that will work on the heart of the people we invite. Is that okay? So number one, if you want to have that inviting posture, is to be hospitable. Very good. Be kind to outsiders. Be kind to God's people. Be kind to your family. Be kind to your family who have not received the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The second one is, if you want to have the inviting posture, it is to be hopeful. It is to be hopeful. People who are very hopeful are very inviting. How many of you realize that? When people talk very optimistically and very hopeful, you kind of like to go there. It's like insects going to the light, isn't it? When there is light, you want to go near. If there's darkness, why would you want to bother? So when people are hopeful, they are very inviting. And we can be hopeful as the people to do the invitation, because we are presenting the good news that Jesus is indeed the true hope of this modern world. See, the woman at the well, she was down and out. She was thirsty for connection. She was thirsty for belonging. And of course, she was lonely, because the only time she could come out of a house, and she's a young lady, I believe, but she can only come out of the house when it's all dark and lonely, and she got to draw water from the well. So I believe that she felt really like an outcast. She felt like an outsider. And worse still is, she was unable to go to Jerusalem to worship God. She wanted to worship God. Samaritans are worshippers of God, but they can't worship God in Jerusalem because they are not Jews. So this Samaritan woman, of course, wanted to be where everyone is, the spiritually attuned people are in Jerusalem, but she couldn't because of her race. But when she met Jesus, Jesus knew her sinful past. Jesus knew all her past, her immoral past. And yet Jesus looked her in the eyes. And Jesus says, I love you from your head to your toes. I mean, Jesus didn't say that, okay? But Jesus looked her in the eyes, and Jesus loved her, and Jesus offered her living water. That's a true witness, that you look at someone different from you and you still give them the same thing you would give to your favorite child. That's a true witness. And her life was so changed, she herself became a witness. She told everybody in the community, come, see a man who told me everything, she said. Could he be a Messiah? This Samaritan woman was so moved by Jesus. It's like, I can't believe it. When you witness the truth and people cannot receive what you are giving them because it's too good to be true, that I can't believe it, while you are giving a gospel of grace. This Samaritan woman says, I just can't figure him out. I told him my worst story, and he gave me living water. He's divinely kind. This woman was infused with the hope that at least someone in the world is interested in her. It's not just she alone going to the well to draw water all by herself. No, someone is interested in her. I believe the world needs hope, and I believe the Lord sent us as witnesses to go to whatever the sphere is, whether it's your workplace, whether it's your family, whether it's your guitar club or your hockey club, whatever it is, to the sphere God has assigned you, and God wants us to sow seeds of hope. All we have to do is to sow seeds of hope. Sowing is very slow, low power. How many of you know that? Farmers, when they are at the farm, there's nothing dramatic, nothing romantic about sowing. You know, they just, you know, spray the seeds, scatter the seeds, or if they are on the tractor, they just let the tractor do its job of scattering. It's slow, low power. But you sow the seed, then you hand it over. Let somebody reap the crop for eternal life. You sow, you water, and let somebody sow. Let somebody reap. Sometimes after sowing so much into the life of someone, you don't get much reaping. That's okay. That's okay. It is a collaboration with partners of Christ. Because at the end of it, we want God to get the glory, not us to get the glory. And I believe that when a person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, not only is the sower glad, the reaper is also glad. That's why in John 4:36, it says there will be rejoicing. There'll be great joy as the sower and the reaper both are glad together. That's why when my brother was not well and my youngest brother Ming and me, when we partner up to pray with him and to be with him, two of us are just so filled with joy because the sower and the reaper, he reaped by the salvation prayer. I sowed by that week and all those years that we were there with him. We were glad together. They'll be rejoicing as the sower and the reaper. If you feel like witnessing alone is very intimidating, get a partner, get two partners, get three partners, and then let the sowing and the reaping be a joyful act. What seeds do we sow? We sow seeds of joy that we have in Christ. We take an interest in the lives of people and we share meals together. We have Bible study together. We schedule time for conversation. We do acts of kindness for one another. We sow into the relationship. And when we sow into the relationship, faith, Christian faith, can spread informally. Christianity doesn't have to be formal. It can be informal spreading of the Christian faith. When ordinary people share themselves willingly and generously, out of joy. When you do that, you begin to see changes in the lives of people. Today, I'd like to share again of my brother. I think when I was preparing this sermon, I felt that it's a personal testimony of what went through the lives of my brother as well as the lives of the witnesses, my family. You know, the last couple of months before my late brother passed on, he found that going out was really difficult. He was wheelchair bound. He wasn't able to walk very far. And so we visited him at his house. Usually he wouldn't let us go to his house because, you know, he wanted to keep his house clean and he wanted the dog to be well behaved. But that time he says, hey, let's open up the house. And at his initiative, he set up high tea table. So he brought in all the high tea with tarts, with durian. A durian is a thorny fruit that we eat in Singapore. Some of you won't like it, but some of you love it like mad. We have tarts, we have durian, we have good food. And even though he was not able to eat very well, the family togetherness, just through the food and through the company, brought him a lot of joy and a lot of hope. And when my sister realized that my brother was very open to prayer and very open actually to Christ, she said this beautiful thing which caused me to be so motivated. That's why I said the sower and the reaper, we all come hand in hand. We enjoy the process of seeing someone come to the knowledge of Christ. And my sister said, wow, this is the beginning of everything beautiful in his name. And truly, everything beautiful happened for my brother in the last few months of his life. You know, we rallied together as a family. And for once, I realized it's like we are the cloud of witnesses that Jesus talked about in the sky, the cloud of witnesses. We were the cloud of witnesses on earth. When you are witnessing, you are like a cloud of witnesses together with other people, being able to share the joy that you have in Christ. And what we did was we created a family culture of joy. When we come together, we eat durian. How can you be sad when you eat durian? We eat tarts. We got the best tarts. And I got the five-layer tart. What do you call those things? Stand. Make it really high tea because my brother loves high tea on the cruise. And we make it joyful. We come together in love. There was healing. And there was help and there was care. My brother is very well aware that he will not be healed from cancer, but he was very happy that when we prayed for him, he was able to remove 3 liters of liquid from his stomach area. 3 liters. And we prayed for him 3 times. He testified to us. He says, "Wow, the power of prayer you guys make very good, no? One prayer, 1 liter of liquid come out from my body." When the liquid was extracted from his body, he was able to actually be less bloated and more able to breathe. He was amazed by the power of prayer. When we witness together, we create a culture of joy, a culture of hope. And the hope that came through was very palpable. It was not something like we try and do it up, you know. We didn't even discuss whether we're going to pray or not. My brother and me, we didn't even discuss, hey, you be the sole witness, I be the sole witness. You say this, I say that. We didn't even do that. We just go in and talk to our brother. And the hope that we brought through our presence, through our words, was so palpable. And my late brother said this. He said he experienced the depth of family love. The community needs to be reparented to experience family love. Some communities, some individuals don't experience family love. We are very lucky if we've got a family, 5 grandchildren, wow, so good. But some of the communities don't have the experience of family, and we are the witnesses so that they can experience the depth of family love and they can experience the depth of spiritual love. I pray that in 2026, we'll experience the power of witnessing and we can bring hope to the lives of other people. In case you think that your seats are dwindling and you don't have enough seats to give, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:10, he says, God who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. God himself will increase your store of seeds and he will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Be hopeful, huh, as you carry the gospel of Christ. Amen? Amen? The third one, if you want to be inviting in your posture and if you want to be a witness for Christ, is to be humble. Is to be humble. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace and favor to the humble. James 4:6 tells us. The humble has favor with God and with man. Now, to be able to witness is a humbling thing. Evangelism is a means of grace. It is the grace of God coming to us, giving us life, even though we don't deserve it. Evangelism is a means of grace, and we are invited to be a part of this work of witnessing. And sometimes we even reap what we have not worked for. We never work so hard. We go in and we reap the harvest. Sometimes, you know, you go in and you say a few words, and then this person says, "I want to receive Jesus Christ." I've got someone come to my office and says, "I want to receive Christ," after I told her one time. But it's not because of me, it's because of the work that has been going on in the life of this person. And I happen to be there to reap the harvest. Some of us have not worked or sown, but we reap. And others have done the hard work and we have reaped the benefits of their labor. That's in John 4:38. That itself should humble us not to engage in triumphalism. In other words, oh, how many souls have we saved? Wow, how good are we in convincing people? Wow, we have got the gift of the gap. Let's not be proud, huh? Let's not be engaged in triumphalism, but to be humble. And we should also not swing to the other extreme. Some of us may swing to the other extreme of feeling guilty for not witnessing. I don't know whether you've been there, but I was there. I was a young Christian. Very guilty, because every time I go on the plane, I was told, you know, when you're on the plane, you've got a captive audience on your left and on your right. So you must share the gospel, share to them, because they can't move anywhere. How many times have I struggled? Like, I just can't speak to this person, or I don't have the opportunity. And I would come away from the plane journey feeling so bad that I have not shared the gospel. Hey, don't be engage in triumphalism like, oh, we did it. We have to give the gap. We are the best in soul winning. How many souls have we saved? Let's hit 1,000. We also don't want to be guilty. We want to be open to God's invitation to share with people when He nudged us. And when you share, don't be under the pressure to convince. Don't look at their eyes to see whether they have received Jesus or not. or pressure them to receive Jesus like time is up. You've got to, come on. Don't. When you are invited, share. Don't convince. We are responsible to share the gospel, but not for the outcome of the sharing. Because the weight is too heavy for you to bear. Whether or not the soul is saved does not depend on you. The soul has got discretion and decision and will. They can make any kind of decision, right? You are not to be responsible for that, but you are to be responsible to share when God nudged you. Whether it's on the plane or in the restaurant or in the church, on the park bench, anywhere. If the Lord nudged you, don't refuse to listen to the nudging of the Lord. But not necessarily on the airplane. Huh? Enjoy your air journey. Huh? Okay. And when you share your brokenness as well. Share your need of Christ. Don't get into arguments. Don't go into politics. Don't go into issues that will split camps. Point them all to Jesus. Timothy Keller says, sometimes Christians are seen as religious people who are narrow, exclusive, and sometimes it can cause themselves to be like a social threat. When people see them, it's like, oh, okay, they are coming to force us. Don't also come across as religious but narrow people. Instead, let's focus on invitation, not condemnation. Amen. You know, even though I had prayed for my late brother for 50 years, when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I was told that my household will be saved. And so I took the word of God very seriously and I prayed for my family fervently. And my brother was one of those people I've prayed for. I've prayed for him for 50 years. But because I'm preaching, be humble, it came back to me that I must not be so proud to think just because I've prayed for him for 50 years that I can effect his decision of receiving and following Christ. Wow, no pressure. I can humble myself before God and appeal for his divine kindness to move my brother's heart, but I'm not the one who is going to save my brother. That's very, very important as you become a better witness this year. And that's why prayer goes hand in hand with witnessing. No amount of logical reasoning, no amount of theological reasoning, no clever arguments can convince a person. Only the submission of this person to the merciful hands of God. And it's also good to pray because when you pray, you take away all the anxiety of wanting to see your loved ones saved. Some of us are so bent on wanting to see our loved ones saved, you are more anxious than loving. Don't be so anxious. Calm down. Because if we come across as being forceful, filled with agenda, sometimes it has the reverse effect. Yeah, just share the love of Christ. Love them from their head to their toes. I remember when my late brother informed me that for his funeral service, he's a planner, he planned everything. He says he's going to go free thinker arrangement. In other words, no Buddha, no Jesus. I was very surprised that I responded this way. I said, wow, as a free thinker, now you can freely think. I did not condemn him. Why no Jesus? I did not do anything like that. I just said, as a free thinker, you can freely think. I'm so glad on looking back, I'm glad I granted him the grace and the space to make up his own mind. But I'm more glad that out of the freedom to think, he chose the Lord on the second last day of his life. I don't know how the Lord will lead you, but let the Lord lead you. You are a loving witness. You're a joyful witness. You're a witness that God loves from head to toe. So go and spread the gospel of salvation in the most loving, humble, most hospitable, and most hopeful way. Amen. We are witnesses for Christ. Christ is not looking for the perfect one, but Christ is looking for the powerful witness that he says in Acts 1, 8. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The Holy Spirit wants to come on you so that you can be the witness. God doesn't want you to be perfect. Of course, be perfect if you would like to. I would like to be perfect, perfected by Christ. But I know that I can only be perfect when I'm with Christ. Be that powerful witness that God wants to shower his Holy Spirit upon you, want to nudge you to be able to witness to someone who needs the gospel. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. I believe totally with all my heart, especially from my recent experience with in my family, that if you are hospitable and you are hopeful and you are, the last one, humble, that you'll be a brilliant witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be surprised how much your gentleness will touch the hearts of people. Let the Lord be the force. You be the humble witness. Amen. Let's all pray. Dear Lord, we are so glad that this task of witnessing is yours, and we are only a part of this plan to be able to sow the seeds, O Lord, of the gospel. Thank you for choosing us. We don't deserve it. We don't look like a witness. We don't even sometimes behave like a witness, but you have chosen us, nudging us, telling us where the needs are. Lord, you are the one. You are divinely kind. Please show the church, please show us as individuals where the needs are, where the people are that you want to sow the seed of the gospel. And help us to be daring. Help us to invite. Help us to ask so that, Lord, that person will receive the blessings and the presence of the living God. I pray, dear Lord, that your hospitality, I pray, dear Lord, that your hope and your humility will be upon your people. And I just pray, dear God, that this year, Father, we will begin to move in the realm of the Spirit. Begin, oh Lord, to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit to see, dear Lord, your gospel advance and people who are in need come to know you as their Lord and as their shepherd. And that they know that they are being loved from head to toe. Oh God, choose us to be the witness, oh God. Choose us to love, oh God. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. God's people say, amen. Amen and amen. Who needs tomatoes in the pantry? I've got one more. Ah, there you go.
Can we all thank Pastor Kara for sharing your word and for witnessing to us your experience as well at being a witness. Thank you. Shall we stand? And just before we sing, I'd just like to give us the opportunity to respond to the Lord. Pastor Kara has prayed for us. And as we stand right now, would you just now respond to the Lord? What is the Lord prompting you on your heart in being a witness? What is he calling you or prompting you or encouraging you to do for 2026? And how we could be a better witness for him? And I think Pastor Kara has modeled and showed us from her own example what it is to be a witness when she shared her life story, her encounter with Christ, and she just shares it as it is, what she has seen and what she has heard in her life with Christ. So how would the Lord, how would you witness for the Lord this year? Would you respond to the Lord and say, Lord, would you help me? Would you empower me? Would you respond to the Lord and say, Lord, here are my hands, here are my feet, here are my lips, Lord. Use me to be your witness. Would you ask the Lord to show you all the things that he has done in your life? so that that can be your story, that can be your witness to whom He brings into your life. It starts with availability, so let's make ourselves available to the Lord. And now let's perhaps respond to the Lord with this song and let it be a prayer for us, even as we respond.